Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce four uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at timcast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at timcast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Governor Ron DeSantis files complaint against a bar that had drag shows for kids. Officials say a partially nude performer climbed in the back of the child's bench, squatted and gyrated above a child's head. And I got locked out on Twitter for calling out shit like this.
Yep,
these people
too.
Are overt pedophiles.
Yep.
Libs of TikTok posted another video where a partially nude, I'm assuming woman, with money in a G-string is carrying around like a 5-year-old little girl or 4-year-old girl in what appears to be an adult club. Yo. I want you to imagine the year is 2103. Students in school are learning about the Second American Civil War. The teacher says, kids, it started when there were child sex change states and anti-child sex change states.
Yep.
And then they started fighting. That's going to be the history of the Second Civil War. It's going to be that fucked up.
It's over the groomers.
It's so much, you know, it's not one issue because abortion is certainly one of these issues. But it's also you were on Fox News, Fox Business. I'm sorry, I think with Kennedy,
right?
And it was the one of the hilarious fucking funniest things I've ever seen. In this clip, you're like, NBC News reported that monkeypox is spreading around due to gay orgies or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And then they were like, whoa, 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 whoa,
bigot.
Bigot.
No, it wasn't whoa, whoa, whoa. The immediate reaction was you're a bigot. I mean, I was being a little. To be fair. We were talking about Fauci. Again, I don't know why anybody listens to Fauci anymore, considers him credible on any level. But then the next point was, because he was talking about monkeypox, and I'm like, well, clearly the best approach to not getting monkeypox is my number one rule in life of don't go to gay orgies. And
that's actually the criteria.
Well, they all screamed bigot, Kennedy and everybody else, you're a bigot for saying this. And I said, well, actually, I'm really just quoting the New England Medical Journal. As reported by NBC News, in which 528 cases, 95% of monkeypox is gay sex.
Look at this. From NYC.gov.
Yes.
Eligibility for the monkeypox vaccine. This is not a screenshot. This is literally NYC.gov up top. It says, to get it, you need to be gay, bi, or other man who has sex with men and or are transgender, gender nonconforming, or binary, non-binary, 18 and older, and have had multiple or anonymous sex partners in the last 14 days.
They think it's an STD.
I absolutely love how they came out with all the COVID stuff and they were like, listen, you got to lose your job. You can't go to the birth of your child. You can't go to your family funerals. But then it's like, oh, orgies, that's too much of an ask.
Right.
You can have all the orgies you want.
Orgies
you can,
for
yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they said stop having sex. Remember this?
2 weeks to stop the curve.
Curve. During COVID, they said stop having sex.
Yeah,
they
that's
did.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They did.
No personal contact.
Canada officially put out a thing suggesting that you have a group masturbation session or use glory holes.
Oh, okay.
That was the Canadian government official advice.
How is a glory hole going to stop any COVID?
So going back to what the WHO, the World Health Organization, said, they essentially said the same thing. Gay and bisexual men should not have sex with multiple individuals, i.e. don't go to gay orgies. They said that today. That was their... And the CDC said the same thing. So I'm sitting here going, I guess now that science is bigoted? I mean, I'm just reporting the facts here, people.
Yeah,
and the response was, you're a bigot.
It's anal
sex, let's be honest. It's fucking ass. It's getting that dirty poop up your urethra that's causing this shit. It doesn't matter if you're gay. If you put it in a butt.
You got it backwards. You have it backwards.
How so? What do you mean?
The viral thread where the guy talked about going to multiple gay orgies and drinking piss said it was bumps in his butt.
In his butt. So he's putting it from the urethra into the butt because of the, what is it called, mesothelia cells? Those really, like your inner cheek cells.
Boy, I really haven't researched this. So
it's just a guess. I don't know.
It's a guess.
Yeah. Look.
I'm just not well-versed in these things.
From NPR. This is NPR.org. There are now more than 700 confirmed cases of monkeypox in the U.S. and over 7,000 in the world. That's according to the CDC. According to the World Health Organization, most of the cases are among men who have sex with men. It is not bigoted to point out that NPR reported most of the people getting this are gay dudes banging gay dudes.
Yeah, but let's not forget, it's not about gayness, it's about butt sex. We gotta say that. That's the truth, right? It's anal.
Women haven't caught this.
Right.
But women do it too.
Yeah, but they said most of the people that have got it have been gay.
Sooner or later. It's 95 to 98%.
So some women.
Sooner or later, a bi guy.
I guess they're in the 2 to 5% range.
Sooner or later, a bi guy, a bisexual guy, is gonna get bunged by a dude and then go bang a chick and that's going to spread around.
So same as HIV, man. This is what happened with HIV. I'm pretty sure in the 80s, a lot of people were, it was introduced into the population somehow. And all of a sudden people, gay men in New York and in San Francisco started getting sick with HIV. But those were the dudes that were up till 5 a.m. doing poppers. Their immune systems were trashed and they just happened to be gay. They were partying all night, fucking all the time. And so you see the infections appear in the people with weakened immune systems. It's possible these dudes that are fucking eight guys or partying have weakened immune systems.
But I guess the thing that was a little surprised me, I shouldn't have been surprised, was a little surprised. Since when did the truth become controversial? Mm-hmm. I'm just stating facts and statistics.
Oh, it's been controversial for a
minute. No, I know. Now it's come to the point where you're just, I guess we don't really want to have the truth. We just.
But on Fox whatever Business, of all places, they were woker than NBC.
No, I know.
Because the question is,
Kennedy used to be pretty like anti-woke too. It's crazy to
say. She's like, we don't need bigotry on the show. And you're like, what happened?
The problem they're having is dividing gayness from the act of butt fucking. You can be gay and not have sex with anybody.
Ian,
and
it is 95% gay men.
Here's the question.
No, you're totally discrediting all of the other things they do. That's not
sex.
Why
are you a science denier?
The question is, what makes someone gay? Is it the desire to have sex with someone of your own sex? Or is it the act? Like, if you don't want to, but it happens anyway, does that make you gay?
I don't think that's relevant. The point is,
I don't know.
They're,
I don't think it does. I think it's the desire makes people gay. And that's where they're taking issue. Because it's the action
it's
that's making
that has nothing to do with what they are saying. These men aren't all having, one guy drank piss. Okay? It is contact with bodily fluids. A guy did a big thread.
You need that drink.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
The guy had a huge thread about how he was guzzling piss at piss orgies.
Was that real? I thought that thread was fake, so I didn't even finish it.
Maybe
what
it was.
What is going on in your life that you end up at a piss orgy where you catch monkeypox? Like, what what has what steps have to occur in your life timeline for you to end up there? Yeah. Maybe I don't want to know.
Like, it is a cultural corruption. Look, I'm fairly libertarian. I don't care if some guy wants to go do whatever they want. But don't come to me and tell me you want universal health care while you're having piss orgies.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
you see then the guy gotta pay for your monkeypox.
He said he had
treatment.
Just done an orgy. He got gonorrhea. He got monkeypox and all this stuff. And it was the system that failed him.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was you that failed yourself.
There's no responsibility among these people.
It goes back to the whole self-governing idea. Like, you should actually govern yourself as an individual, at least
Michael,
for better society.
I can't remember who.
Just
thought. I think it may have been Adrienne Curry who said this. She was like, I love Michael Malice, but, you know, every time we see stories like this, I have to question, you know.
Oh, yeah, the guy that pissed on the elevator.
Right. That's what it was.
I love the idea.
What?
Yeah,
some dude in an elevator was peeing all over the.
There's a viral video of a guy getting in an elevator. And then he starts pissing on the buttons.
What the fuck?
Causes a malfunction, and then he panics, and he gets trapped in the elevator or some shit.
Is this real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea
that you
have.
What's the thought process that leads you to go, I'm going to pee all over?
I want
to
find out. Oh, no.
And some of these people.
I'd love to go, like, can I just talk through the process?
Oh, I'd love to. What? Yeah. That's why I like to interview.
Oh, we're going to watch it.
And people think humans can govern themselves properly, and I'm like,
on camera.
Maybe.
Have you met humans?
This dude is out of his mind. Wow, he's pissed.
Wow. He doesn't
watch
how high he can go.
Wow.
Oh, he wanted to get him
on his tippy toes.
Got to get him on. Pokemon.
Watch the lights on the elevator buttons, though. See how the bottom one's lit up?
Oh, no.
Oh, malfunction, baby.
Oh, shit. Someone pissed on the elevator button.
Yeah, panic sets in.
He broke it. He shorted it out.
Huh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. I did notice that he he did manage to miss the top two buttons, which were the ones where he wanted to go.
Well, there you go.
What is he thinking?
So, I mean, here's the question, right? Can people really, you know, would anarchy work? Would true freedom, lack of government really work?
No.
Lazy, stupid people would end up trying to take other people's stuff.
I mean, quote Madison, if all men were angels, there'd be no need for government.
Exactly.
But we're not angels.
But then, unfortunately, the worst people possible all want to be in government. So we've got a bit of a double-edged sword there. But then it's interesting you talk about that guy that's like, oh, I went to this orgy. I got gonorrhea and monkeypox or whatever. The system failed me. And then it's like Republicans come out and they're like, hey, we want to create a system that prevents that from happening. And then they're like, why are you oppressing me and trying to, you know, destroy the LGBT community by not allowing us to
why
have orgies?
Why are you telling me to knock off the orgies for two weeks?
Yeah, everyone in the Republican movement have been trying to like put in some of these social restrictions around sex, because sex is a really powerful thing that we don't acknowledge has such power over us and our emotions and health and everything. And then, yeah, as soon as people figure that out on their own, they just can't see it. They can't see what Republicans are trying to do there. It's hard, because I also think that there should be freedom, sexual freedom amongst people. You can't restrict it, but then, yeah, there has to be that level of responsibility, accepting that.
Well, I see the modern left as
sideways.
The modern left eschews all responsibility for everything.
Yeah.
They don't take responsibility for it. They claim they do, but they do the opposite. You should pay for my health care. Well, maybe put down the fucking Twinkies and the Ben and Jerry's and we'll talk
and
about
the
it.
Orgy.
How? Okay, fine. You want free health care? That comes with a cost, right? How about the cost is mandatory calisthenics for those who want the free health care?
Yeah.
How about this? Health care from the government is opt-in. You know, you can do private or you can do government. And if you do government, you have to show up 3 times, 4 times a week to a mandatory exercise.
Yes. You know, what we really never discussed during COVID was the fact that I asked the doctor, you see him a lot on TV, what he thought the rate of those who died from COVID was linked to obesity. He gave me a very precise figure. And again, it was 72 or 82%. Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is basically a pandemic of the obese.
Yes,
absolutely.
But we never had that conversation of like, we kind of got to this point from certain choices were made along the way, and then this virus came along.
We don't need bigotry here. It's not a pandemic of the obese.
Ned, you're such a bigot.
No, you're right. It should have been about health.
Bigot.
It should have been about diet.
Yeah.
And vitamin D, sun, getting sunlight.
Vitamin C, vitamin D.
Insanely, it was about what can we inject you with? What can we inject you with? We got to inject you with something.
Money, dude. Yeah, but it was like we never had the conversation about, hey, you know, we might have an obesity problem here, and this virus has been very opportunistic on people that are obese.
Well, we don't have an obesity problem anymore.
Well,
that's actually a very funny idea to think of China, like, unleashed this as a bioweapon. And they're like, oh, crap. It's
thinned
actually
herd.
Just, yeah, it's actually just killing all of America's obese people and lowering their health care costs and making a fit nation. Damn.
So to what Tim was saying about governmental, like, you know, universal health care, but you can kind of opt in. I actually worked for a hospital, and you got extra benefits if your BMI was in a certain range, if you didn't smoke. I mean, they screened you for contine, which is what stays in your system longer than nicotine. So they went through and they checked all these boxes. They're like, is your blood pressure good? Is this good? Is this good? At the time, everything was perfect. They covered my surgery and everything I needed, because I was like doing the work to make sure that I could.
That's
be
good.
Covered.
That's a good
system. But hold on, imagine you're working somewhere. And they're like, if your BMI is in this range, you get these benefits. And then one day it's like, well, you're too fat, so we're cutting your pay. And they just like,
they don't cut your
pay.
Can
I tell you a funny story about
BMI?
But like
cutting benefits is kind of like that, you know?
Yeah. A
little bit.
So I got COVID in December.
Me too.
Yeah. Week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Same.
No, we were in like end of October.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Went in, got tested, positive, wife's positive. And so they called and said, hey, you're positive, and we think you might qualify for the monoclonal infusion.
Oh, wow.
And your wife has been diagnosed with asthma. How much do you weigh? I said, well, I don't know, 200 pounds. But I'm like, probably 195. The nurse, well, that must mean you're 200. I'm like, well, no, I think I weighed myself at 195. No, you're 200. I was like, okay. She's like, good, you qualify now. Your BMI is too high. You're now qualified as obese, so you actually get the infusion.
Okay.
Worked in my favor.
God.
Yeah, they had me at a 20, what is it, 20, what's... 24.9 is considered like
24
right on
and up.
The verge, yeah.
And I was 25.
Yeah.
With that going to, no, you're 200.
That's so, the BMI is the stupidest thing ever, because if you're athletic and you have muscle, you're obese.
Yeah, but
you're
Americans aren't, so just saying. People complain about BMI.
Sometimes,
and like,
sometimes it qualifies.
That's true.
You.
If you are super muscular, BMI doesn't really work for you, but Americans are not.
No,
that's
not.
Not our issue.
No, but
it's not too much muscle.
I got the infusion.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah,
for
me too.
We got it. We got it as well.
Yeah,
we got the Rogan therapy.
Yeah,
what was it like for you?
Yeah, which included ivermectin.
What was the infusion like?
Yeah, yeah. How did you feel when after the monoclonal?
I have to tell you, I felt like I had kind of gotten over everything. I was tested positive on Tuesday. The infusion was on a Friday. Got it. Went home. They're like, hey, we're going to keep you here for a little bit, observe you, and then you go home. My wife was fine. I spiked like 103-degree fever, had the worst chills I've ever had. It was 5 hours of complete and utter misery.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. I was like, this is awful. What have I just done to myself? The next morning I woke up and was like, okay, I feel okay.
After the monoclonals?
Yeah. No, this was the monoclonal that triggered the 103-degree fever.
Oh, yeah.
Worst chills. Felt
full
terrible.
Immune system.
I got COVID and it was so bad. I immediately like started calling around and the doctors were like, fuck off. Do nothing. So I called Rogan and he was like, we got to get you set up, man. We got to figure something out. And he gave me some advice. Ultimately, we got a doctor who...
What did you do? Ivermectin?
We got monoclonal antibodies.
Okay.
Vitamin IV therapy.
Okay.
They gave us a bunch of other stuff. I can't remember. Anti-inflammatory stuff.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And take then, as needed, if needed,
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Monoclonal antibodies.
Okay.
The night I got the monoclonal antibodies was the most excruciatingly painful night of COVID.
Yeah.
And I was pacing around. I wasn't sleeping. I was just walking around half eyes closed, just in pain. I couldn't stop moving. I was drenched in sweat, but nothing made the pain stop. And then around 5 a.m. it went... And it was gone.
Yeah. Dude, it was 5 hours for me. Almost
And then I'm sitting on my couch and I'm just like, everything's fine now.
Yeah.
I turned on the TV and I was just like, I feel good.
I got up and had a bowl of soup. I'm like, oh, what was that all about?
We also got NAD as well. We got
nicotinamide,
adenine, dinucleotide. I got it all at the same time.
Okay. I got it the next couple of days.
Was this like in a day? Like just the whole, like everything in a day?
Yeah. I got like an emergency infusion of a whole bunch of crazy shit. We got, it was nicotinamide, adenine, dinucleotide, then monoclonal antibodies, then vitamins. And then I was given ivermectin afterwards, like a few days after.
Oh, okay.
And so a few days after, I was like, I'm fine. I don't need this and I don't want it. And the doctor was like, you have to take it. And I was like,
it's like 5 days or?
It was like 2 days later.
No, but you took it for 5 days.
No. One massive dose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a bunch of pills all at once. Huh. And I was like, I feel fine. And they said, we've prescribed you medication that we think will help you. And if you don't take it and then you get sick, that's like a problem. So just take it. I said, fine. And it was like six little pills or something and you just slammed it all at once.
I had this.
I said, take them all at one time.
Right before I got the monoclonal thing, I was getting ready. She was getting ready to put the needle in my arm and I'm like, wasn't big on needles, and I was getting really nervous, and then all of a sudden I felt like I was going to pass out. I had a temperature like 101.5, and my body like felt like woozy, like I was going to pass out. Everything swelled, and then all of a sudden I broke into this like wet sweat all over my body, and I felt like I was like had almost passed out. And then she took my temperature again, and my fever broke. I was at like 99. I dropped 2.5 degrees, and then I got the injection thing, and I was completely fine 20 minutes later. It was almost like my mind killed COVID.
Huh. But no reaction afterwards.
No, I felt fucking great.
Yeah, my wife was totally fine. Nothing, felt great, awesome, and I'm the one that's like in utter misery.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was the worst night. I was like shaking.
I think it's
violently.
An animal. They found, it was a Time Magazine, I think it was a Time Magazine article about China finding it in ice cream, COVID, in ice cream. So they had to recall all this ice cream. We should pull this article
so
up
strange.
Too.
Huh.
Ian talks about this all the time.
Because that indicates that it lives in food. If COVID can live in animal fat, especially animal fat, it looks like. So it's obviously it's in the food supply. They don't want to cause a panic. They don't want to cause people to stop buying their fucking meat and milk and cheese and shit.
Mm.
But duh, that's why people out in the middle of nowhere are getting
it.
In deer.
Yeah, COVID's in deer. Yeah. No, it's, yeah.
I think I got the Transformers variant, the Omicron one, Omicron, whatever it is. Yeah. It was like 3 days of suffering and then I was totally good after.
Did you take any medicine?
Didn't take any. I took like vitamin C, but I just like literally could not get out of bed for 3 days.
Did you test for it?
No, but someone else in my family who had the same symptoms did. So I was like, yeah.
I got it again in May and it was like bad allergies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ned, you mentioned that it's in deer. And I remember that my ex was telling me, my ex worked in veterinary medicine. He said they've been studying this kind of virus in animals for years now.
Yeah.
This is not new.
No.
The only difference is that it's coming to humans.
Right.
Here we go. Yeah. All over the place. AP reports on it. Fox8.com. Ice cream in China tests positive for COVID-19.
Now, the big question is, was COVID-19 being spread by gay orgies?
Undoubtedly.
No doubt.
But not just gay orgies. Orgies of all types.
Animal orgies.
Zoonotic orgies.
Yeah. It's terrible stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Definitely the BLM riots and pride parades.
Yeah.
They were getting some good spread going on.
Apparently, Black Lives Matter protests reduced the spread of COVID.
Right.
Because they were reducing racism.
Fuck these people. Because
the experts. Because the experts said so.
Yes. Right. They were like, a new study says that protesting actually reduces COVID. And I'm like, oh, fuck off.
What's up with the remasking? I've seen that people are starting to mask up again. Is this another COVID thing?
No. Yeah, so yeah. But you see Beverly Hills turn it down?
No, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, like, no, we're not doing this.
Good.
Fuck yes. Fauci's out there going, well, we need to make sure we do this. And we have to have everybody in N95 masks that have a tight fit. Like, go screw yourself, you little fascist gnome.
I don't know Ron DeSantis or really a lot about anything of his policies, foreign or domestic, but the way he handled the COVID situation, the way he handled Florida's freedom is like, yes, yes.
I'm telling you, he's going to be a national force. I don't think it's 2024, but he will be a national force at some point.
Like the grassroots candidate.
Yeah. He raised... I think it's going to be about $150 million for his reelection. It's not just about grassroots.
This is serious
reelection money.
But
this podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
For the state of Florida, he raised, what is it, like triple or quadruple what anyone else has raised? Something like that?
Yeah, it's some massive amount. The other thing, too, that he's been focused on, this is why I said, Florida is not a battleground state anymore. The federal registration now is massively in Republican
state. Scott Pressler.
Yeah, Scott Pressler's done some great work. Yeah. I love I call him the Johnny Appleseed of voter registration.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
No, he really is. He goes around, he does it, and he's spreading the gospel, as it were, of you've got to get people registered to vote. You have to grow your base if you're going to have real political success. He's awesome. But no, this is one thing that you're seeing. Democrats used to do this very, very well and beat Republicans all the time on voter registration. They go into targeted states. We know that newly registered voters, 80% of them vote in their next election. They're super voters.
Wow.
Republicans are doing a lot better job on this. This is why I'm telling you some of the dynamics between 2020 and 2022, whatever 538 is saying, there's dynamics they're not paying attention to beyond inflation, beyond Joe Biden's terrible approval numbers.
And the polls were wrong.
Voter registration.
The past 8 years or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, think about Wisconsin. Remember that ridiculous, was it ABC Washington Post that said Biden's going to win Wisconsin by 17 points or something?
Oh, right, right, right.
Trump loses it by 20, and I have real questions about that. But yeah, I think the poll, I don't look at polls now as being a reflection of truth. I look at them as psychological warfare.
Yep.
To suppress the vote.
Yeah, they're trying to convince people
it's over.
This is what everyone wants.
Don't worry about it. You don't want to go out and vote. You're going to vote for a loser. Mm-hmm. Just stay home. It's over.
How do you handle the Dominion thing? I'm very bothered that a private company is tallying votes in secret with a proprietary algorithm.
I hate electronic voting machines. That's why a lot of these countries have actually outlawed them in Europe.
Yep.
They don't use them. My perfect scenario of election day is it's election day. The thing I tell people all the time, if you want to have election day, not election weeks, you do Florida-like laws. They count all of the mail votes, the mail-in ballots. I think they count them 3 days starting before election day so that on election day, all they're counting are election day votes. So by, call it 10 p.m., the third largest state in the union can actually give you the results of the election. We have to have those laws, paper ballots, photo ID, all that stuff. But I hate electronic voting machines.
Yeah, I could be open to like an open source algorithm if we're able to see like, okay, it didn't flip the vote in secret. If we could verify that it didn't, just not knowing, I can't live with that.
And I never went down that path. I think a lot of people went down kind of a rabbit trail post-2020 on Dominion voting machines. I was focused
more on bullshit.
Yeah, Center for Tech and Civic Life, highly questionable, $419 million being spent in battleground states and blue counties to boost the blue vote. State law, state constitutions being skirted. I mean, these unsecured ballot drop boxes. I mean, the fact that Center for Tech and Civic Life was actually paying people to go into rest homes, and in Wisconsin you had a 95 to 100% turnout in rest homes when the national average was 67%. I'm sorry. there were a lot of irregularities in 2020. I think there's some things that need to be addressed. The thing I do have, the concern about Trump, he's so focused on 2020, I think he needs to say there are things that need to be fixed, but I have a bright vision for the future.
He needs to win 2024, and then he can look at 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
But all he's doing is coming out, and the fraud thing really annoys me.
Yeah.
Because it's voter suppression.
But I also told him, too, I'm like, sir, you can talk about this all the time, but the way that you're going to see real action actually get the win instead of griping about it, go get involved in state legislative races, gubernatorial races. Because when you win at that level, they're the ones that actually do the election integrity. It's not at the federal level. It's at the state level.
I think Republicans lost Georgia because of Trump.
I think so.
When he came out and said...
You mean the Senate races?
Yes.
Yes.
It's voter suppression. They cheated.
I just groaned when I saw that.
There were people being filmed, like CNN's filming them, and the guy's like, I'm not voting because it's rigged. And it's like, okay, thank you. And then they fucking take...
You look at the red,
one seat.
You look at the red counties from January versus November... Absolutely a fall off in voter participation. And again, it was a special election, so there's some of those dynamics, but also,
you can't go out there telling people you can't win. You need to go out there and tell everybody, get three of your friends to go and vote, and you will win.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see, though. I mean, 538 came out and said that, you know, Democrats are favored to win the Senate now for the first time. And I just think Nate Silver is an idiot. Mm. He's been wrong for nearly a decade now, and it's kind of pathetic. He used to be this wunderkind, you know, like, he's the math guy, and then all of a sudden it's just,
I think Herschel Walker's got to turn around in Georgia. I think there's some problems there. Saw some numbers for Arizona, Blake Masters. I've actually, this is my calculation. I think we can win Georgia. I think we can win Arizona. I think we can win Nevada. I think we hold Wisconsin. I'm writing off Pennsylvania.
Right.
I think we got a shot at New Hampshire. But we're not going to really know because that primary is not until middle September.
New Hampshire, you said?
Yeah.
I know.
Hassan is vulnerable.
Right. But and 538 saying it's heavily Democrat. And I'm like, the free staters are going to vote for a Democrat?
No, she's vulnerable. And then Colorado, there's a reason Democrats are spending millions in Colorado and Washington State.
I got too many friends in New Hampshire that want to use flamethrowers and machine guns to vote for a Democrat.
Yeah. No, I know. This is the thing. I think there's going to be a couple surprises on election night. I don't know where they'll be, but there will be some.
November is going to be so much fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I hope we have our new facility set up because I am going to be grilling burgers and I want to go live like all day and just do like a special wide shot, make it really fun and easy and just party and be like, it's going to be a good day.
You know what would be badass is if we had like a garden in the middle of the building, like a big kind of rectangle or square building where we could go outside, but it's in the building, and then we can grill in there. So we don't have to go sit on the outside lawn. And then we have like a tree
like
growing.
Event.
Like a giant tree of life. Yeah. Well, outdoors.
I mean,
but
we're going to have like a kitchen in the building.
My mind's out
and
of
like
control,
a vent
man.
So we can grill burgers.
Keep going. Take me there.
We can do like an open flame grill, like, in the building.
Oh, fuck yes. Can any a non-Republican or Democrat win? You guys keep talking about like all these elections. Can like a Libertarian win?
No.
But not will they, but it is possible. Like in New Hampshire, I know a lot of Libertarians.
Rand Paul is essentially a Libertarian for the most part.
Yeah.
But he had to run as a Republican because it's a two-party system. Libertarian.
The Free Staters in New Hampshire, they're Libertarians and they all run as Republicans.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just for the money?
No, you have to run inside the major party because you don't win. You don't win as a third party candidate. You just don't. That's not how our system is.
Yeah, so
set
you're
up.
A Libertarian Republican or you're a Socialist Democrat.
You just ran under a major party banner because that's how you win.
That's because when they go to the ballot.
I'll tell you a funny story. Speaking of this, the communists realized this in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. G. William Domhoff was a communist and he said a party is what, I quote him all the time, a party is what people say it is and the people who say what it is are those that win primaries and show up at conventions. So we communists need to abandon our third party approach and go inside the Democratic Party and start winning primaries and showing up at conventions. We'll make the party a creature of our own creation. So they realize, like, we're really stupid because we're not getting anything accomplished. We're going to go inside of a major party and kind of create our own party by winning primaries and showing up at conventions.
Trump did the same thing.
Yeah.
Trump was not.
So that's what you do. And we're going to have a Republican and Democratic Party two generations from now.
I feel the libertarianism creeping into the Republican Party.
Totally. No, I've got a big libertarian streak.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing a lot of people, especially with the America First movement, that have pretty strong libertarian streaks in them.
What about the Green Party? Do you ever follow their work or do you guys like?
I mean, we've got them in Canada. They've got seats in Canada, but.
What's their biggest, problem?
Climate change.
weed.
You gotta stop using cars, man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, so they're still stuck on that. So if we could give them the technology to pull the carbon out, you think they'd be more reasonable, realistic?
Nope.
Green Party?
Nope.
Have you guys ever really talked about the total joke of, like, going to electric, the renewables and electric vehicles?
Of course. They're shutting down nuclear power plants while simultaneously saying they want to reduce carbon emissions. And I'm like, the fuck are you doing? It's the opposite of what you
No, but I keep on reminding, have you looked at Germany? Germany is like a two-decade experiment on the absolute fool's errand.
Them and Spain, they both did renewables. It with
$600 billion.
You misunderstand. They don't want to use fossil fuels. They understand that the energy they do use, they will use. Like, I believe these people know that the energy output of fossil fuels is here.
Right.
And they're telling everybody, we can do renewables, but they know it's actually here. And this means a lot of you die. But they don't care because they want to be here.
But the thing is,
it's not that it's depopulation. It's that they're probably like, if we switch to electric, we can have cleaner air and a better system, and that will result in tons of people dying. Don't tell them that last part.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
Germany.
You know who's
did
been tweeting
to...
about is Jesse Kelly.
Was it? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's been tweeting about this. He's like the people that want
Greta Thunberg. She was like, we don't want to wait until 2030. We want to stop it now. If you shut off fossil fuels today, within 3 days,
a billion people,
60 million die in like 3 days. But over the year, about a billion.
Yeah, like you would lose a billion people in a relatively short amount of time.
But so the idea is from these elites is we shouldn't have had those billion people in the first place.
Yes.
So fuck them.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
They all actually think Thanos was the good guy.
They are soulless, evil people.
Thanos was not the good guy. He was very, very dumb.
Also misled. That's a big part of what people attribute as malice is people thinking that they're doing the right thing because they didn't have the right information. Like if they knew they could get the carbon back, you'd realize carbon's the most valuable thing on Earth, basically.
But listen. They don't care. It's not just about that. It's about them sitting down and saying, hey, why is governance so chaotic? Well, the system that we built was designed for 35,000 people per congressional district, and now it's 775,000. And they went, huh, we cannot be govern a system so big. They want people dead. The Georgia Guidestones, people say apparently it was some Christian guy who made it. But the idea of keeping the Earth below 500 million, you realize some people will look at that and say, how do we get to that number? Well, that's 7.5 billion people got to die, right? It is easier to govern when you have much less people.
I don't know why they're bringing in so much immigration then in the U.S.
To destroy systems.
Yeah.
It's
political power.
Look at it this way.
I think it's backfiring on them.
Let's say you've got five big rubber bags full of water. Mm-hmm. And you plug a system. All of them are hooked up by a system. And then you have a motor pumping all of the water from four of the bags into one of the bags. What happens? Burst! The whole thing explodes. The four on the ends are drained completely and empty. The one in the middle explodes, and now you've got nothing.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Interesting.
Yep.
Destruction of system national is sovereignty.
Buckling. Well, I think it's also because they're shifting the resources to China. And we'll see, though. China's in an economic crisis right now. We'll see. But I think the elites are betting on a Chinese future. There's a 1.3 billion.
Yeah.
So they're like, move the manufacturing over, move our assets over, sink the United States, avoid war.
Interesting.
Huh. We'll see. Ned, Lauren, it's been a blast. Thanks for having
awesome.
Me.
Yeah, depressing. Thanks
for
having me.
Thanks for ending on that high note. Yay.
Wow, great.
Okay.
And to everybody who is a member, as always, thank you all so much for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.